Let the seed go deep, Father. Cover it with the blood that the enemy can't steal it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What I was going to teach you tonight, I decided not to because I felt like I needed to do this first, all right? After reading the scriptures and thinking about it. So tonight we're going to talk about ruling and reigning with Jesus, all right? There's so much going on right now that's exciting. And, you know, more and more the people are starting to prophesy about President Trump, about how wonderful he's going to do. And you can feel the change in the atmosphere that something great and powerful is about ready to happen. But the thing in the atmosphere that I'm excited about is what God's about ready to do to the body of Christ. We've been waiting a long time for this, and the waiting is over. Tonight I'm going to talk about ruling and reigning with Jesus and ruling and reigning from Zion. There are many scriptures concerning Zion that are prophetic concerning the end time church. If you can get a revelation of Zion, it will change your life and ministry, causing you to enjoy the benefits of dominion and prosperity. And see, each one of you in here are called into the ministry. Each one of you have a definite thing that God wants you to do. Whether you understand or not, you really do have, and that's why you're here, and that's why you're learning. Now, you have to grasp what your position with Christ really is. And you have to understand that we are ruling and reigning with Christ. He's inside of us. And he's going to stay with us, and he's not going to leave us nor forsake us. And God's been teaching us exactly what this Davidic relationship's all about. And I said, it will change your life and ministry, causing you to enjoy the benefits of dominion and prosperity. So Hebrews 12:22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Starts out, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. When I very, very, very first got born again, there was something going around about NASA was watching the new Jerusalem descending, and that it was going on for years, and all of a sudden it just disappeared. They no longer talked about it, and I've always wondered how come that was. But they had pictures of it and everything, and all of a sudden it just dropped out of sight. So, but you know what? God has called us to come up into the third heaven, did he not? You have to understand that everything that God's been doing up to this point was to get us to this point. And you know, and whenever he called us up into third heaven, he really stressed the point that we had to go, that we couldn't stay here in this earthly realm. Now, if you listen to what God said and you went there, then you're ruling and reigning from that position. David ruled from Zion. We are connected to the heavenly Zion through Jesus Christ. Zion is the city of the King. There is an innumerable company of angels connected to Zion. Now, has not God been saying that we are going to see angelic visitations more now than we ever have in the church history? He's been saying the angels are going to come and they're going to assist us in our ministries. So Zion, so this is where we're there, guys. We're right here on the edge. And through this revival, God is teaching us, this is going to be our final teaching, you know, when this revival's over, about what we're supposed to do, because then God's going to exalt us into our positions. Each one of you, whatever God's called you to do. Zion churches will experience a ministry of angels in deliverance, healing, financial breakthroughs, and supernatural protection. I'm waiting for the deliverance ministry to tell me that an angel came and bopped some demon on the head. I really am waiting on that. All right, so I said Zion churches will experience a ministry of angels in deliverance, healing, financial breakthroughs, and supernatural protection. These churches are end-time Davidic churches. Warring angels will fight for them and assist them in carrying out their commissions. See that? Well, Jay Bartlett now says Jesus himself is appearing in his deliverances. and delivering and setting the people free. First of all, he had the angels. Now Jesus himself is coming. I think that's awesome. God has been in the process of restoring Zion, restoring the church, okay? We are living in the days of restoration. The church is Zion. The city of David and the tabernacle of David is being rebuilt by Jesus, who is the greater David. Jeremiah saw the destruction of Zion. We are living to see the restoration of Zion. Jeremiah wept, but we are rejoicing. God told me a couple of years ago to give me that scripture about start rebuilding the church. And that's what we've been doing. Lamentations 5:1 says, "Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Look and behold our reproach." Now just listen, this is talking about us, all right? "Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Look and behold our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to aliens and our houses to foreigners. We have become orphans and waifs. Our mothers are like widows. We pay for the water we drink and our wood comes at a price. They pursue at our heels. We labor and have no rest. We have given our hand to the Egyptians and Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is hot as an oven because of the fever of famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the maidens in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung up by their hands and elders were not respected. Young men ground at the millstones, boys staggered under loads of wood. The elders have ceased gathering at the gate and young men from their music. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate with foxes walking about on it. You, O Lord, remain forever, your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old. Unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us." See that? Isn't that what we've been going through? Lamentations 5:16 says, "The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. The crown that was fallen has been placed upon the head of Jesus, the greater David." Because Revelation 14:14 says, "Then I looked and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle." God's telling me to tell you, you're about ready to see me move in a way that I've never moved before. Your eyes will see things that others wish they would have seen and never did see. The graves of the dead will be open, a new life will be breathed into their nostrils. You are my chosen generation. You are those that I have chosen to go forth and reap in this harvest of lost and dying souls. I have been training you up to this point, trying to get you to the place where you will be mature and strong in me. I have been training you so you will come to the place that no one can take you off of your throne. I have given you my words to speak over my peoples. I have come and I have visited some of you in the wee hours in the morning. I have shown my glory to you over and over and over again. You are my end time army. And I am pleased with how you have come forth thus far. Continue to follow me. Continue to serve me with all of your heart. Do not lean to the right nor to the left. Definitely do not look back. Keep your eyes upon me. For I, the Lord thy God, I am going to take you from glory to glory to glory. And you shall be my glory carriers, and you will go throughout these nations, and you will defeat the enemy at every turn. There is going to be a great onslaught of the enemy. He's going to come after my church like he's never come after my church before. But I have been building you up as strong towers. I have been straightening out the lies. I have been bringing you into my spirit. Religion has dropped off. And he will not be able to touch you because you will stand strong and you will stand steady and you will stand firm. You need to understand this night that I love each and every one of you, that I have never left you nor forsaken you. And even though the enemy came and got you off the path every now and then, the Lord thy God, I loved you so much, I put your feet back on the path. I want you to understand that you are strong in me, and that the enemy can have no sway over you whatsoever. Go forth this night and with rejoicing, dancing in your feet, praising my name, and just destroy the enemy at all turns. I love you. I really do, truly do love you. Jesus inherits the crown of his father David. He rules and reigns from Zion. We rule with him through this crown. We are living in a season of time where we are seeing the crown of David restored to the church, which is Zion. Begin to see yourself wearing this crown. You are a king and a priest. Whoever heard of a king without a crown? The high priest also had a crown, and you can read that in Exodus 29:6. A crown represents power and authority. We have inherited a crown of glory through Jesus Christ. The crown of David will flourish. And let's stop there. Remember I told you, God, when I was preaching one day, God said to me, don't let any man steal your crown. Well, now I realize today as I was typing this, what he was telling me was, don't let any man steal your power and your authority. Isn't that awesome? So each one of you, don't let any man steal your crown, but use your power and your authority. Psalm 132:17 says, there I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. So your power and your authority is going to flourish. God's kingdom is always expanding. Our authority is increasing. We are and will be operating in more and more authority each year. I would say each moment. Amen. Every day. Isaiah 9:7 tells us of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. The increase of his government, there shall be no end. Psalm 2:6. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion, because Jesus rules from Zion. I'm sorry, because Jesus rules from Zion, we rule with him on the throne of David. We can ask for the nations. We can possess the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the authority of Zion believers and Zion churches. We are a Davidic church. I want you to get that in your system. And what makes up the church? Each individual makes up the church. Amen. God dwells in Zion. God does dwell in this church. Zion churches are filled with the presence and glory of God. God told me a couple years ago, daughter, my glory is always here. It's just not here in the fullness went like you want it to be, but it will be, he said. But my glory is here. Quit asking me to bring my glory because it's already here. Amen. Remember I told you that? All right. God dwells in Zion. Zion churches are filled with the presence and glory of God. God shines out of Zion. There is rejoicing in Zion. And you can find that in Psalm 9:11, Psalm 48:1, Psalm 52, and Psalm 76:2. Right? Then Psalm 87:5, and of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself shall establish her. So each one of you were born in Zion, and the Most High himself, God, shall establish you. I'm not going to establish you. God himself is. It is a blessing to be born in Zion. Many of you here tonight have been birthed in this new move of God. As I look, you know, as I was typing this and I thought about each one of you are new. And you came in at the time where God was changing things around. And each one of you now are being birthed in here into your ministry. All right. Those in Zion are birthed in strength. Is that where I'm at, Nancy? Those in Zion are birthed in strength. See, when God birthed you, you weren't birthed a weakling. He had your feet on that solid rock, and he made sure you kept them there because he chastised you if you took them off of there, didn't he? They came forth with the spirit of David. We have been birthed in the apostolic and prophetic move. You know, God told me one time years and years ago, daughter, you operate in the fivefold ministry. Then about 4 years back, he said, daughter, you are an apostle. And so, you know, all this time, we've had an apostolic and prophetic move because we work work and move in the prophetic here too. So we've always been really blessed. You know, how many of you really, you know, if you're like me, you really don't really stop and think about how you're really blessed. I'm blessed, you say, but you don't really stop and think how really blessed you really are. I've just always took it for granted that, you know, God was just with me, you know, and that he was just going to use me. But I didn't stop to think how blessed I was that he does stay with me. There are certain characteristics of those born in Zion. They are birthed in praise, worship, and rejoicing. They are birthed in the presence and glory of God. They are birthed in intercession and warfare. All right? So they are birthed in praise, worship, and rejoicing. They are birthed in the presence and glory of God. They are birthed in intercession and warfare. Psalm 102:13 says, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her." Yes, the set time has come. The set time has come for God to put his favor upon this church. And each one of you make up the church, so it's time that God has placed his favor in each and every one of you in here tonight. If none of you came and it was just me, it would still be a church. Because I make up the church, right? We each make up the church. And you should say that too. Well, if I'm the only one that shows up at the prayer meeting's still in full swing because I'm the one that God anointed to do this. Jesus dwells in, I've heard where you come, that somebody comes here and there's nobody here, they just go home. Now that's dumb. If you're called to be the intercessor, you should be the one to sit here and intercede and say, get those fools in here, Lord, because we need people in here praying, right? Come on. Jesus dwells in Zion, the church. God is having mercy upon Zion, and you can all say amen to that. This is a set time of God's favor. Begin to see a new level of favor operating in your life. I want each one of you to see that. This is the set time for God's favor. How many of you, you can raise your hand, do you really know that you found favor in the eyes of God? You know, that God has really given you some favor. Well, remember that. And the rest of you didn't raise your hand, know that God has really given you, you're really going to see that you're going to have favor wherever you go. Psalm 102:16. For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Who's going to build up the church? The Lord. And how's he going to appear? In his glory, right? This is where we are at, and we are getting ready to experience new levels of glory. God is building up his church. He has promised to appear in his glory. Right now, we are experiencing the manifest presence of God. Jesus sits on a throne of glory. We reign from a throne of glory. Jesus sits on a throne of glory. We reign from a throne of glory. Each of you need to come to grips with the fact that the glory of God rests upon your life. It's already there, whether you feel it or know it or not. It's already there. And you are a Zion believer. Begin to see yourself ministering in his glory. All right? When you do deliverance, see yourself ministering in the glory of the Lord. You know, the light needs to be shining bright when you're doing that. All right? Now, I was reading Reverend Regina's email she sent me. I hadn't lost. I had it. I just laid it on my desk and it got covered up with a bunch of other junk. But anyhow, she said in there that one of the men that she, you know, that's in her group, listened to a tape. I forgot what it was about now. It wasn't about gluttony, but it was teaching on. Anyhow, I talked about gluttony, and he started throwing up, and he got free to gluttony. What was that? That was an anointing on the word on the website. And he got free, and there were some other things too, she said, but still in all, and some people who came here a couple years ago, the sons came first, and they got a prophetic word, and they went home and said, "Mom, you got to listen to this." So she listened to it, and then the whole family started coming. They attended for about 8 years, but they said what drew them was the anointing that came off the tape as they listened to the prophetic word. So the glory of God is in you. And when you speak, that anointing is going to go onto that tape. It's going to go into the airwaves. It's going to do whatever God wants it to do. All right? When I used to be in a radio, the people said, when they took me off, well, I quit really because of what they did, but they said, oh, we could just feel the anointing coming off the radio as we listened to your messages. So you see, you have to realize, I didn't realize all this then either, all right? You have to realize that the glory of God is in you and on you. And whenever you speak, that anointing is going to touch those people around about you. And I know that's why God says we have to watch our tongue. Because your tongue is anointed. It's anointed to either tear down or build up. All right? Psalm 129:5, let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turn back. Those that hate Zion will be confounded and turned back. You cannot hate Zion and prosper. You can't hate the church. You can't hate God and prosper. It is a city of the king. The Lord rules out of Zion. His rule is coming through his church, and his power is being released through his church. Those that hate you will be confused because you are connected to Zion. You hear that? Those that hate you are going to become confused because you are connected to Zion. You're connected to the church. You're connected to God. You're connected to the glory. And your glory carriers. Everywhere you go, people might not ever say a thing to you. One time, somebody came here. A young man sat right there where Aaron's at. But he was in seat before that. And I was preaching, but I was walking around. And he left. His sister left. A year later, she belonged to the church. By the way, that day my brother came, he had stage 4 cancer, and they gave him a couple weeks to live. And when you walked by him, something hit him, and he was totally healed. He's still alive today. Yeah, I didn't touch him. I just walked by him. But the glory, I didn't know he was sick. He was just somebody sitting there. But the glory that was in me, because we're glory carriers, touched him, all right? And another thing, that one time before I became a pastor, I was in this church, and I was standing there, we were doing praise and worship, and the pastor's husband walked by me, and all of a sudden he went, whoop! He started yelling and singing, and he jumped it all around the church and carried on, and I thought, I wonder what's wrong with him. But I found out after the service that he was always wanted to dance in the Spirit. And he said he'd get up to go do something, and when he walked by me, something hit him. It was the anointing. It was the glory. I didn't know it was a glory carrier. It hit him, and he started dancing all through the church. See that? So, I was just standing there singing, and he was just going somewhere. So you never know who God is going to put in your path and cause the glory to leave you and go into them. You're a glory carrier, so make sure you're walking holy. Make sure your mind is secure in Christ. And then God can use you any way he wants to use you. Psalm 146:10 says, the Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. So the Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Every generation is affected by the church. Zion churches are governmental, apostolic, ruling churches. They rule through prayer and intercession. Rule through prayer and intercession. Rule through prayer and intercession. She doesn't show up at prayer meeting, let me know. And I'll go intercession her, all right? They rule through praise and their declarations. God reigns through Zion. Davidic churches are Zion churches. Zion churches have the spirit of David. Zion was the city of David. His throne was in Zion. The throne of David is in the heavenly Zion. We are sitting in heavenly places in Christ. If you read all these kings and 2 Kings and 3 Kings and Psalms, it all talks about the city of Zion. I kept thinking, God, I'm writing that down there. I keep repeating myself, but that's how it's in the Word, all right? The throne of David is in the heavenly Zion. We are sitting in heavenly places in Christ. Do you believe that? Yes. He called us to the third heaven. So therefore, we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. And we rule and reign from there. Isaiah 2:2 says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people should come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God has been saying, come up to the mountain lately to me. I don't know what he's saying to you, but he's telling me to come to the mountain. He wants me to go up there so that he could teach me more things about the city of Zion. He wants me to walk in a deeper depth of his anointing. Everyone in here tonight, you are not walking in the anointing the way you are going to walk in it, all right? Because God is going to increase the anointing that's upon your life. And it's going to become stronger and stronger and stronger and deeper and deeper. Don't grow weary. Don't allow the enemy to steal anything from you. Keep going. Keep going. This is a prophecy concerning the last day church. All nations shall come to this scripture. All nations shall come to Zion. Now the peoples are going to come to the church. And now what God said, he's bringing in this harvest. They're going to come to the church. You're not going to go to some bar. He said, how are you going to attend? How are you going to minister to the people that I'm sending through those doors? Teaching shall be a characteristic of Zion. God is exalting his house. He's raising up his church. So teaching shall be a characteristic of Zion. I don't preach, I teach. It's one of our characteristics. And I'm quite sure that you people, when you go out, you teach. You don't preach, you teach them, right? You teach them what God is showing you. There's nothing wrong with preaching, by the way. All right? But, you know, a lot of people don't learn anything from preaching, but they learn a lot from teaching. Begin to see all kinds of people coming to you for ministry. Do not limit yourself to one people group. We are seeing all nations come to our churches to be taught the word of the Lord. And with the deliverance ministries, people from all over are calling. I mean, all over the world are calling and wanting Skype deliverances. And people from all over are reading the website, looking at the website. So, what you know, in your own life, you're going to attract people from all nations, just not from your one little group of people that you're used to. So don't get yourself hung up in a little group of people. Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. So Jesus is the foundation of Zion. He is a tried stone. He is a precious cornerstone. He is the sure foundation. This church, it started on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and it never has left that foundation. We've always stayed on that foundation. So we are a sure foundation, right? Zion cannot be moved. It is everlasting. You know, a Zion church cannot be moved. It is everlasting. Foundations also speak of apostolic and prophetic ministries. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, and you can read that in Ephesians 2:20. Zion churches are built with apostolic and prophetic anointings. Everybody in this room should be able to prophesy. I used to teach people how to prophesy. Everyone in here, if you're living a holy life, you should know how to prophesy. You should be able to prophesy. You know, and I'll just say to one of you, go up there and prophesy to that person. I don't know what you're thinking when I tell you to do that. Told Aaron, and I said, Aaron, you go and lay hands on that lady, and whatever God tells you to do, you do. And he said, all right. And he went and did it, and she went out in the spirit, did she not? Because you listened to God, right? And did what he told you to do. Other than that, she wasn't going anywhere. But see, God told me to tell Aaron to do it. So, you know, I'll just be sitting there, and all of a sudden my mouth will open, and I'll tell one of you guys to do something. And God just uses me because my tongue and, you know, and my voice is committed to him. He can speak to me anytime he desires. This is the way you need to be. Commit your voice, your tongue, everything else to God. God, use me to speak anytime you desire to. And if you don't want me to speak, put tape over my mouth, right? Because you don't want yourself speaking. It has to be God. Okay, Zion churches are built with apostolic and prophetic anointings. They are strong because they have a strong foundation. I know some of you think, boy, she is about the hardest thing. But, you know, you have to have a strong foundation or you're going to fall. You have to have a backbone of steel and a forehead of flint or the enemy's going to run all over you. You're going to have to know who you are in Christ. I know I say this all the time, but you're going to have to know who you are in Christ. You're going to have to know you've been called. You have to know that you know that you know you've been called, and not only called, but chosen to do the things God wants you to do. All right? And when you have all that, you got it. The enemy cannot tear you down. He might try, but he can't tear you down. Because he's not going to let you believe that you are who you are in Christ Jesus. He's going to constantly try to tell you, show you all your faults and all your flaws. Zion believers are strong believers. You are a part of Zion through Jesus Christ. You rule and reign from a strong city. You're ruling and reigning from yourself because God is in you, right? So he is the chief cornerstone, and that's what you're ruling and reigning from Jesus Christ and his anointing that's inside of you. You're not doing it on your own. Don't ever think you are. Well, if you are, then you're in a whole lot of trouble. Isaiah 31:4 says, "For thus the Lord has spoken to me. As a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion and for its hill." Like, in other words, don't worry about what people say to you. God will fight your battles for you. I've told you how when I first opened a church here, not in my home, but the pastors would come here and they would sit right there in the front row, and they would tell us afterwards, I came here to put her to shame, but I have to stand up and say she is truly a woman of God. See, God fought my battles for me. I didn't know why they were here, but God fought my battles for me. He will do the very same thing for you. He's no respecter of persons. All you have to be is totally and completely committed to him, being obedient, willing to face the truth, walk in that truth, and let the glory flow. This is God's word to Zion. He will fight for Zion. He will defend and preserve it. Sorry, he will deliver the church. Zion churches are protected by the king. You cannot defeat Zion. This church has been come against and come against and come against. But it can't be defeated. Why? Because we are protected by God. We are called by God. Amen? You cannot defeat Zion. Remember, there is an innumerable company of angels connected to Zion. We have angelic help and assistance as we rule and reign from Zion. So you have to understand and know that you know that you know that you, there are angels around about you. And those angels are there to protect you and to fight your battles for you. Isaiah 52:1, "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion." It is time for the church, Zion, to awake. God has awakened us. All right, so I said, let's read that scripture all over again. "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. God has spoken to me, he said, I'm going to separate the wheat from the chaff. I will no longer let the chaff remain with the wheat in this church." I don't know what he's doing with other churches, but in this church. So he said, "For the uncircumcised, the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust, arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion." It is time for the church, Zion, to awake. God has awakened this church. He's been awakening this church. We are putting on strength, are you not? No more shall unclean spirits come into us. We are loosing ourselves from the bands of the neck. God told me, I know a year ago, he said, "Daughter, the Jezebels are coming back into the church again. I'm forewarning you. So stand guard." And you know, so I have to stand guard. You know, Jezebel comes in all forms. And I have to have my eyes constantly open to see what's going on in the church. You do too. You constantly, Jezebels comes to everybody in this church. You know, it does. They do. Whatever. You have to be on guard of what's going on around about you at all times. Because he's after your ministry, this Jezebel spirit. And if you aren't on guard and if you aren't walking for those Jezebel spirits, they're going to take you out. We need to understand that number one, great deliverance has come to Zion. Number two, God has turned our captivity. Number three, he has redeemed us from the hand of our enemies. Number four, we are rising and sitting on the throne of David. That's where we're at right now. Isaiah 60:14 says, also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you, and all those who despise you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the breast of the kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron, I will also make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. God is just taking care of us. He is stripping us from all of our enemies, and he's placing us in a special place in his kingdom where we are going to rule and reign in righteousness, and the enemy will not be able to stop us ever again. These are powerful prophetic words concerning Zion. Although you have been despised and hated, God will cause men to bow before you. All right. Great wealth is coming to Zion. God is upgrading us in our finances. Isn't that wonderful? Because he said he was going to do that. You will no longer feel desolate and forsaken. The Lord is our Savior and Redeemer. Isn't it exciting? You know, Brother Larry said, you know, I found out one thing. If you just stand, no matter how much things, if you just stand, no matter how much persecution is, if you just stand, one day you'll have the freedom. And, you know, this is our one day. This is our set time. We have been standing and standing and standing and standing. And this is our set time. We are getting ready to be exalted among the nations. Isaiah 66:8 says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. I'm going to lose weight because I'm getting ready to birth this thing. I'm at the pulpit. You be quiet. Amen. Brother Chris Lynch is going, I'm getting birthing too, he said. Come on. Get ready to hear and see things you have never seen before. I'm telling you guys, you've got to do this because God keeps telling me you're going to see things and hear things you've never heard before. In fact, he says it's going to warp my mind a little bit of what I hear. Amen. Nations shall be born at once. Entire people groups shall be swept into the kingdom when Zion the church travails. There's that travail thing again. You better be travailing. Multitudes shall be born into the kingdom suddenly. What did God say? Suddenly the doors are going to just bust wide open. All these people are going to come in here. And are we going to be able to minister to them? Amen. Yes, we are. Amen. Now we are. We weren't when he first asked that, but now we are. The days of Acts are coming back when thousands are saved in one day. This is a day of great revival. At this present time, Zion churches are being raised up throughout the earth. Because God told me one time, I have many forerunner churches all over the world that I have in the backside of the desert, but in one day I'm going to bring them all forth. So you're going to see a whole lot of churches all of a sudden just come on the scene. God had us sing, okay, I want to say this. At this present time, Zion churches are being raised up throughout the earth. And now I just thought about this as I was typing this. God had us sing, are you a worshiper and will you ride with me? Remember all that time we would sing those songs over and over and over again? Now, I have tried to sing those songs recently, and God would not allow me to. Why? Because he was calling those that wanted to follow him at that point. And he's not doing that no more. You either said, yes, I'll follow you, and are working to follow him, or you just did do nothing. But it is too late now to answer that call. All right, then we went from there to Chris Tomlin. Now we're here. On the verge of total glory. Amen. Now see, I had to give this before I can give the other one. Because I felt like you all needed to know who you really are and what your purpose really is. And you need to understand that all the warfare that you've been going through is for this time. God was all this time, God's been preparing this church and other churches too, but I'm the pastor here, okay? He's been preparing this church to be strong towers that many can run into. And so he was preparing this church so he could open them doors wide and send the world in here. I was telling Brother Larry that when I first started, you know, way back when, 30-some years ago, God used me mightily. But then I got off course. Something happened in my life, got me off course. But now I'm back on course, and because God told me, he said, daughter, you didn't finish your journey yet because you got off course. But now you're back on course, and now you're going to finish your journey, and it's the things you're going to do that you're going to do now are going to be greater than what you did back then. So if any of you in here tonight have gotten off course, you can get back on course. All you have to do is say, Father God, I know somewhere along the line I missed you, and I did some really dumb things, but I'm repenting of those things, and I want to get back on course, and I want to be one of your vessels of honor that your glory flows through and win many, many souls into the kingdom. Amen. Well, you can go around bragging, hey, I'm a glory carrier, because you are. You are a glory carrier because Jesus, who carries the glory, is inside of you. You're not saying something that's not true. And, you know, the more you say you're a glory carrier, guess what? The more you're going to start believing it. And so you need to look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm a glory carrier. Look at your brother and say, I'm a glory carrier. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right. And see, when you get it down in your spirit, and you will start, because it is the truth. I don't bring you no hype. I don't believe in that. And you know, it'll get down, and it'll be the truth. It is the truth, and you'll start walking in that. And then what happens from that point? Then you'll start doing signs, wonders, and miracles, because you're gonna realize that the one that carries the glory is in you, and that one in you does signs, wonders, and miracles. So therefore, you can do signs, wonders, and miracles also, because he's there. Right? Well, you can come to the altar. Father God, I need to know what it is you're going to do at the altar tonight. God said he's going to seal you into the third heaven, where you will no longer think worldly things, but your mind is going to be stayed totally and completely on him. So he wants to seal you tonight into the third heaven. You know, I had to leave here last night, so I said to Brother, whoever it was, Brett, I said, God wants everybody in this room to be prophesied over, so you make sure you do that. See, and God told me I want everybody prophesied over, and I heard some of you got powerful words. And if I wouldn't have told him that, you would have left here dead and empty. But I do what God tells me to do, all right? So I'm telling you, God wants to seal you tonight in the third heaven. And the enemy won't be able to steal from you ever again.